Good evening, bookworms. Welcome to Revella, Vella After Dark. What kind of trouble can we find ourselves in tonight? Join me now to find out. Good evening, readers, and welcome back. So I thought I'd change it up this time with the second episode. I'm going to read you episode one from my personal Vela called Dear Grandma. I wrote Dear Grandma as a way to self-heal after losing my grandmother at the end of 2020 when she passed away. She was on home hospice and we were trying to take care of her the best we could, you know, that way she could be with family and, you know, see friends, whatnot. My father did the majority of care for her, and then I would come up on weekends and take over, and that way he could get some rest. And it went on and on like this for about 3 months, I think. But, there was a lot of anger, a lot of pent-up emotions, and wasn't going anywhere. And as a writer, we let our life circumstances and events that occur daily in them guide our writing in a way, as well as with all the fantasy stuff. We, majority of the writers, I will say, will input always a little truth from their life into each story in multiple ways, shapes, and forms. So, like I said, I thought I would read episode one of Dear Grandma for y'all, and I hope y'all enjoy it. March 19th, 2023. Dear Grandma, oh my loving heifer, our cute nicknames we discovered for one another through my teenage years. Anytime we found ourselves in an argument or disagreement, I'd call you Heifer, and you'd call me Hefina. It's been 2 years, 3 months, and 8 days since you passed away. I haven't quite healed from your death, even though I knew it would eventually be inevitable. I can talk until I'm blue in the face, but it won't change anything because I'm still hurting. My little part of my family is still hurting every day. Journaling is supposed to be an effective way of self-healing, but to be honest, I felt like an utter moron doing it, so I thought I would write you letters or little notes instead. I miss how much we used to talk when you were here with me, and I hope this fills that void in some way, shape, or form. So let's go back to where it all went to hell first, before we can move forward. It was October of 2020, and COVID had been running rampant in the world. The pandemic caused all kinds of grief, and you constantly gave us the, if I die, I die speech. But I unfortunately let the fear of the media overtake me. What I wouldn't give back and forth, that full honky, that end. Sorry, just need a moment. What I wouldn't give to go back and throw all that bull honky and come to the side and come see you in any way. I miss out on almost a whole year of time with you because of that. I thought I was protecting you, but in truth, all it did was isolate you more. Sure, you had my brother and his wife and kids around, but he's a workaholic and she was gone all the time to her mother's or whatnot. Nothing prepared me for what I was going to find. When I finally came over after saying screw it and showed up at your home, I'm still so angry at myself, even blaming myself. But I am even more mad at everyone else. The family has long divided since then. No, a better word is split since your death. No one hardly speaks to each other, really. You'd be happy to know my brother and I buried the hatchet after your death. Our disagreements became rather childish. It was his idea more than mine, but we still really don't talk much. Honestly, Grandma, we're just two polar opposites from each other, if I'm going to be honest with you. and myself. Anyways, I'm getting off topic like usual. Sorry. Sometimes it's like that when we talk. It's like we have Tourette's or something. Or just these ADHD moments. And, ooh, butterflies. But you always called it the mom brain. Having multiple conversations at once without skipping a beat in the middle. But okay, here we go. Deep breaths. We arrived at your house after learning that my brother and his family left for the weekend, leaving you all alone. I didn't agree with that, even though I knew they were going through a miscarriage. I had this really bad feeling, and the more I thought about it, the more I was overwhelmed with this sense of impending doom if I didn't go. So I grabbed my husband and kids, and off we went. We were there within 30 minutes. You didn't unlock the door, and my heart started pounding more with worry. Finally, you weakly unlocked the door and said, "Come in." When we shuffled inside the door, you had already climbed back into bed. You looked so sick and frail, and you're laying in your bed. I had never seen you so ill in my life. I immediately tried to call for an ambulance, but you argued like always. The last time you were sick, I called my paramedic friend to the house to get you to go to your doctor, but it got you out of bed and treated. I made you a deal. You always loved making deals. Either you get out of bed and shower and go to the bathroom, or I was taking you to the hospital. Oh, did I mention I arrived on a Friday and you had been alone since Thursday? That seems like an important detail. Probably because it cost us important time. We couldn't get back. I'm sorry. I just need a break. This is getting a little bit overwhelming to write. Okay, I'm back. Sometimes thinking about the past is hard. You never talk about the hard stuff you faced in the past either. Grandpa or Aunt Shay Shay passing, nor in any Dee Dee's death either. But where were we? Oh yeah, the deal. Well, stubborn as a mule, you did it. You got your rear up and slowly made your way to the bathroom. I noticed the coloring of your legs looked slightly off, but shook it off as you had a bug and just had been lying in bed, being bedbound for the past day. I called my aunt and told her the mess of a state you were in and asked her to come stay the night with you when we left that evening. Foolishly, I believed that she took it seriously and was going to come. Boy, was I wrong. Yeah, before you even complained, I did in fact just roll my eyes at the thought of that memory. She was a part-time elderly caregiver, so I assumed as your daughter, she was better prepared to assist than I was. I bathed you, made sure you were fed. My husband and daughter changed your sheets and we washed them, cleaned the house, and I kept guard over you while you slept the day away. My aunt, your second child, promised to come sit with you through the night, but she was just getting off of work, or so she claimed to me. So I thought you'd be safe until I arrived the next morning. The entire night, I was on pins and needles, restless at its finest. We jumped in the truck and rushed over at the crack of dawn because I couldn't wait anymore. When I arrived, you didn't answer the door. No one was there, and I started to panic. My husband broke in through a window and that we had left unlocked just in case. And there you were, breathing, but lethargic, unable to move. I blew up my aunt's phone screaming at her and asking where she was and why she never came. Best believe she showed up within the hour. I called my dad crying and freaking out because you needed a hospital. Why didn't we just rush you to the nearest hospital or call 911 instead? I guess we make irrational decisions when we're faced with crazy situations. Why did I let my dad convince me to drive you all the way over to the city where he lived? Sure, all your doctors were now there instead of your hometown. But now looking back, I was a fool wasting time. Again, there we are. Over and over. Wasting precious time. Seems to be an ongoing pattern in this story. Okay. This next part is pretty rough to write to. Again, deep breaths. Your legs were an awkward purple-bluish color. Couldn't really feel anything in your feet. My aunt finally showed up by that time. Of course, she put the blame on everyone but herself for the situation. I'm to blame, too. I should have never left. Wait a minute. I feel like I need backup a second for context. Why was my aunt so negligent, you ask, in showing up? Grandma, I'm sure you know by now, but it was rather quite simple. Your home has always been a revolving door. It was actually a policy in your home. Whenever anyone in the family hit a rough patch and needed a place to stay, short-term or long-term, your doors were always open. Grandma, I remember countless cousins living or staying with us as I grew up. The yearly hunters, family and family friends alike, say for the big deer hunting season or holidays, man, they were ever so big. Such a huge celebration, and you never once complained. Once I was grown and out of the house, my aunt moved in. I don't remember the details of what happened, only that after I got married and moved, that you were diagnosed with congestive heart failure. She assumed she would get the house, but you made your will and testament so clear over and over. I never wanted anything but the world for you. I wanted you to be happy, but no one in the family ever believed me. Who would be crazy to pass up on an inheritance? I was. Over the years, my brother never left. And if he ever did move out, it was never for long before he brought back his wife and they would once again take up residence in your back bedroom. Oh, look, Grandma. My mind wandered off down the rabbit hole once again. I'm sorry. It happens a lot. But again, you've never minded. Back to the truck ride to Dad's city. Dad had arranged for the emergency room to be prepared for your arrival. My aunt says she watched the kids, so we rushed you there without worry. My husband valued you as much as his own mother who passed away a year prior. He loved you like his own grandmothers that had already gone to heaven. His hands were shaking, but even as weak as you were, you still were trying to crack jokes. I remember my aunt poking her head in the truck after my husband got you securely buckled in the front seat. She asked you if you knew who she was, but you appeared as if you were having a stroke. Half of your face was paralyzed, unable to move. You just shook your head no, and off we went, rushing to the hospital. I sat behind you silent for once, unable to talk for fear I was about to lose you forever. I remember hugging you from the back seat and mumbling occasionally that I love you. Then the jokester came through. You could barely hold yourself up, and you looked at my husband, and your words slurred as you said really slowly, "I don't ever remember or ever believe she's ever been this quiet in her entire life." My husband laughed and agreed with you, cracking his own jokes, but his eyes kept looking at me full of worry in the back seat. He knew you weren't okay. I wasn't okay either. Your attempt to make jokes was your way of trying to ease my fears and worries in your worst moments. Even when you knew how bad the situation was, all you cared about was making sure I wasn't scared. That's more food for thought, but moving on. Dad met us at the hospital, where all your doctors were, and they took you in immediately, wasting no time on testing and blood work. Your blood sugar was at 25. You never had blood sugar issues in your life. Then the doctors discovered a severe UTI that had damaged your kidneys as well. You would need a week to recover at least in the hospital, if not more. The rest of the night was filled with managing your sugar levels and trying to keep them up. I stayed out in Dad's truck all night long because of COVID and because your test was negative. Only one person was allowed in your room at the time. I remember Dad calling me on FaceTime, and you were so perky and back to your old self. I truly felt like we had dodged the bullet this time, but damn it, was I ever wrong. This was just the beginning of the very end. This was the first nail in the coffin, so to speak. This is where everything quickly started to go downhill and where the great divide in the family started to unravel. There is so much more I need to say and want to say. But I need to pace myself because, let's face it, healing doesn't happen overnight. But maybe by the end of this, I'll find peace and healing. I know I said it many times, but I'll say it again before signing off. Thank you for loving me and raising me. Until next time, love always, your Hefina. So that was the first three episodes of Dear Grandma. They're free on Kindle Vela. And you can read the rest of the journaling stories of Dear Grandma on Kindle Vela on Amazon. The tokens is anywhere between 6 to 10 per episode. If you're not familiar with Kindle Vela, it is a serial platform where you can read by episode. So the first 3 episodes are always free, and then you start paying tokens per episode after that. So Dear Grandma, again, is a journaling of my loss of my grandmother, who was my mother, who raised me after my biological mom left after my parents' divorce. She abandoned me and my brother and my 3 half-sisters, which I found a couple years ago now. But if you resonated with the first 3 episodes of Dear Grandma, and you felt like it hit you on a personal level and it engaged you, I highly recommend you go check it out on Amazon. And I hope y'all enjoy it. So I will see y'all for the next episode. And thank you very much for joining me for Revella, Vela Stories After Dark. Have a great night, bookworms.